Now, if you'd like to follow the reading in your own Bibles, it's in Acts chapter 20, and I'll be reading from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Now, this morning I want us to take a good look this final statement in Paul's address or exhortation to the Ephesian elders. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. And he goes on to say, quoting Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And I suppose this final statement of Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," is one of the most neglected sayings of Jesus. But by neglecting it, we are really missing out, because it could really enrich our lives and our walk with Jesus. I hope that today to revive in you the desire that Paul talks about in another one of his letters. He says to the Corinthians that he prays that they would excel in this grace of giving. And that's my prayer for all of us, that we would excel in this grace, this gift of giving. A friend of my wife's, who was recently staying with us, just said off the box, she didn't know what I was going to be talking about this Sunday. She said, "I've never heard any Christian praying for the gift of giving." They pray for other gifts, preaching or healing or the like, but she never heard anyone pray for the gift of giving. But yeah, this is quite important in Paul's talk, his exhortation to the elders, because he puts it right at the end. It forms a climax, doesn't it? It's the climax of all that he's saying, reminding them of what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So of all the talks I've heard on this passage, and I've heard several, I very rarely heard any preacher talk about this, the importance of this saying. It certainly was of great importance to Paul. And he dwelt on it. So let's have a look at it. I just don't want to talk about giving. I want to talk about the attached blessing that goes with it. So let's look at Paul's giving first of all. Here is the verse. He's commending his lifestyle to us. And if we want to really get a model of giving, we look at Paul and Christ, of course, whom Paul followed. So first of all, we're going to look at Paul. I put this man, who's obviously working very hard. He's working in the heat. It's hard work. He's sweating. He's covered up. And he's working hard. It's an unexpected picture of a Christian. Next one. So, first of all, Paul's giving. His hard-earned cash. And certainly the money that Paul earned was hard-earned. He was a tent maker, and he did his sewing, and that was only his day job, or was it his night job? How did he manage both preaching the gospel and making tents at the same time? You know, when I was a teenager, the church I went to, they made a distinction between elders and deacons. From Acts chapter 6, they said that the elders were the ones who had to give themselves to the word of God and to prayer. And the deacons, those are the ones they appointed, they were to deal with the more practical matters like money and distribution and like. So what was Paul doing? He gave himself to preaching the word, but he didn't only give himself to that. He had to work to earn some cash. So it was hard on cash. I think there's something a bit wrong with that exposition myself. Paul undoubtedly was very honourable as an apostle, but he worked with his hands. Nowadays, they call a minister who has to have another job to earn his living. They call him bivocational. That's a good way of putting it, actually. He's got two vocations, both of them worthy. And so he worked, and he not only supplied his own needs, but he had a team with him, he had some companions. And by working, he supplied their needs so that they could be free
to preach the gospel.
My goodness. What an example. You know,
he did the
work so they could
have more time to be involved
in preaching and sharing and talking to people, building up the church, going out to the villages around Ephesus. Paul actually made a point that he would never ask for money. He was really concerned that the church would see that the gospel is free. And he didn't want to give any chance for those false apostles he knew were going to be coming in, who were asking for money. He wanted to undermine their case before they got there. So he never did ask for money. So working hard with your hands, it's good. Hard-earned cash, God likes it. Especially the way we use it properly. To help those in need, he mentions here. You can also help those who are involved in the proclamation of the gospel as well. I want to just talk a little bit about St. Patrick. I don't know if you know St. Patrick. He's one of the few Catholic saints that are also Protestant saints as well, because we do revere his memory. Now, when Patrick, of course you know his story, was captured from Britain just after the Romans had left, and he was from a rather well-to-do family. They owned a kind of villa. His father was a deacon, but he wasn't interested in church. He got captured by pirates who took him to Ireland, where he became a slave, sold as a slave, and he looked after sheep in a remote part of Ireland. While he didn't get to know Christ while he was with his family, he did get to know Christ while he was a slave. And during the dark nights, lonely nights, he prayed. And his relationship with God just grew. Eventually, God gave him a vision and told him there was a boat waiting for him at the port, and he escaped. I'm really shortening this story. When he got back, he trained as a priest, and then one night he had a dream, and he heard the people of Ireland calling him back. So he accepted God's call and went back to the very people who had enslaved him. And he spent all of his family inheritance, because his family was rich, his parents had now died, he had a lot of money. He spent it all on evangelizing Ireland. Because in those days, there was lots of tribes in Ireland, and you had to bribe them to let, if you wanted to get through and have the opportunity. He spent all his money doing that. And he's remembered to this day. He spent his hard-earned cash, well, rather his parents' inheritance. And then it wasn't only Paul's hard-earned cash that he gave. Just in case you think that giving is just about money. Next one. His tears. Paul gave a piece of himself. Well, all of himself, actually. I think twice in this passage, when I read it, tears were mentioned. I'm just using that as representative of the way Paul gave himself. He didn't have it easy. Can you imagine, while he was trying to win people in the province and in Ephesus for the Lord, his own people, whom he loved, were plotting to kill him. Paul loved his own people, the Jews. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they might be saved. But while he was preaching the gospel, they were plotting against him. Very painful indeed to be preaching there when he was being kind of hunted down by his own people. And then he warned his own congregation with tears in his eyes. Not something that I ever enjoyed doing as a pastor and as a Christian friend, but very necessary sometimes, very hard. You know, if you're involved in ministry, and I think many of you are, you can't do it as a hobby, can you? You always, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're on the car duty, ferrying people backwards and forwards from church, or whether you're an elder, or whatever you do, any worthwhile ministry, you have to give a piece of yourself. And that will sometimes involve a lot of heartache as well. It's not only our hard-earned cash, but our tears, our whole being that is invested for the Lord. But it's interesting, you know, that Paul ends his message here with this saying. He says, now look how hard I've worked. Look how much I've suffered. Look how much I've given. So feel sorry for me. Now, wait a minute. No, that's not what he said. Notice, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't feel sorry for me, because I'm blessed more than you know. So we'll look at Paul's blessing in a moment. But let's look at God's giving before we go on to that, in the next slide. God had given, and Paul mentions it, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Does God have blood? Well, the Son of God did, when he became man. And that's the only way that he could shed his blood, was to become a human being. You know, we talked about earlier about God's giving, how there's some things in our life we don't really want to give up, and we hope God isn't going to ask us. But God gave for us the thing that the person he valued the most, his own son. God just didn't stop, and Jesus didn't stop giving either when he lived amongst us. You know, it was not like the Greek deities that were around at that time. The Greeks said that the gods could become men, but they didn't become real men. They just masqueraded as, for a short while, they appeared to be human. And then when the going get tough, they just disappeared back to where they came from. That was not so with Jesus. He didn't disappear back to heaven just like that. In fact, Paul talks about the Lord Jesus in another place. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. When the Son of Man embarked on his ministry, he said of himself, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But what was the blessing in it? Now I'm asking this very circumspect. What was the blessing Jesus gave all? How was he blessed? Can God be more blessed than he already is? Well, what did Jesus get out of it? Phrase to use. Well, Jesus went back to heaven different than when he came. When he came, he was God. When he went back, he was the God-man. And now in heaven, there's a man. He's also God, who intercedes for us. So what did Jesus get out of it? Well, I say this within the limitations of human understanding in language. Jesus bought for himself, purchased a whole worldwide church. And now, because of what he did, heaven is going to be full of people worshipping him and loving him. That's the way he was blessed. And of course, he was blessed because he went back to the glory that he'd left. Yes, there was a real blessing in that. There was, well, I say this very reverently, there was something there that Jesus really looked forward to in everything that he gave. Well, now let's look at our giving. Next one. And we're going to take a sideways look at some of the ways that Paul was blessed as well at the same time. First, our giving is for Jesus. We have the next one. You see, Paul had met Jesus when he was on the way to Damascus. He was hounding the Christians. He was killing them, putting them in prison. And suddenly he met Jesus. And he never forgot it. He never forgot that meeting that he had with Jesus. Jesus not only forgave him, but at the same time gave him a very important task to do, which was testifying to the Lord Jesus, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well, and to people in high places. And Paul got to do that, of course, because every time he got arrested, he was brought before an important judge, and he just gave his testimony to him at the same time. And everything he did was for Jesus, the same Jesus who had forgiven him and given him that important task to do. There was nothing more important for him in the whole world than to finish that task. May I ask you, what is the most important thing in your life? Is it anywhere near what was the most important thing in Paul's life? To serve Jesus and to testify to him? We too, like Paul, in a way, have been sent into the world, or the part of it that God has given us as our responsibility, to testify about him in any way we can, by life and by word as well. Our giving, in that sense, is for Jesus. Not just our money, like I've said, not just our hard-earned cash, but a piece of our life, our tears. So it was for Jesus. Our giving has got to be always focused on him. Secondly, it's for others. Paul gave himself to God, but he also gave himself to other people. Now, I don't know what your opinion of Paul is. You know, you may have been in the old school of thought that said that Paul was quite difficult to get along with. He didn't make many friends, and that's a load of rubbish. He had tons of friends. Like these Ephesian elders, they didn't want to let him go. when he said he wasn't going to see him anymore, they embraced him, they kissed him. They just couldn't get enough of him. Because Paul, for 3 years, had given himself to them and hadn't held anything back. He set them an example as well that they never forgot. His teaching they never forgot. They loved him. And then there's... So Paul did it for them as well. And he was already... This is where the blessing comes in. When you give yourself not just to God, but to other people, you're suddenly going to find you've got another family. You've got friends. You've got people who love you. When we went to the Philippines to plant churches there, it looked completely uphill. But now at this distance, after we've come back, there's, for instance, we've had a Skype contact with the couple that we were able to lead to the Lord, who were our neighbours in Manila. And they speak so affectionately of us, I can hardly believe it. puts Riley and I, makes us want to cry. I can't imagine how we ever got into that place. And on Facebook, we've got friends, a lot of them Filipinos, from all around the world. But we never thought of that when we were doing it, mind you. That wasn't what we were aiming for, but we were blessed as we gave ourselves for others. You know, Paul had friends he made in the course of his ministry, like Priscilla and Aquila. They loved him so much, it says they even risked their own life for him. Would you like a friend like that?
And then there's...
Our giving is not only for Jesus. It's not only for others.
It's for ourselves.
Does that sound selfish? It isn't really. You know, because God knows... Jesus, consciously, with intent, gave us sight of the reward that awaits us. It was no accident. He told us. So he said that well-known, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. That's pretty solid, isn't it? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. C.S. Lewis, and I'm a great C.S. Lewis fan. I like to read his books and like his quotes. He said, "The only thing we can keep are the things we freely give to God." Got that? The only things we can keep are the things we freely give to God. Well, what we try to keep for ourselves is just what we are sure to lose. You want to keep something? Give it away. You know, all sorts of things happen when we give ourselves to God and to others. Unexpected things. There are blessings. You see, when we give sacrificially of ourselves and of our money, we leave ourselves in need sometimes. Not that we don't give more away than we got, but sometimes an emergency comes and we don't have it anymore. And so sacrificial giving really presses us back on God. Let me give you an example that you may be familiar with. Hudson Taylor, James Hudson Taylor. He trained, he wanted to give something, he wanted to do something that would be appreciated when he went to China. So he trained medically alongside a doctor. And one Sunday, which is the day when he went visiting, a man came to him, a very poor man, he was in rags, and he said, "Can you come and pray for my family?" So Hudson Taylor followed him, and he went to a hovel, and there was his wife very sick in bed, and some poor ragged children around. And he started to pray. But immediately he started to pray, he said, "I've got to do something." That's what the thought came to his head. And he had half a crown, this is old money. You can't translate it into new money. It sounds like nothing. It was a lot of money. All right. And in half a crown, there are, for those of you, most of you will know. If you don't know, there was 2 shillings and 1 sixpence, if you break it down. But he didn't have 2 shillings and 1 sixpence. He only had 0.5 crown. So he wished he had 2 shillings and 1 sixpence, because then he could give a shilling and keep the 1 shilling and 6 pence to buy his meal that day. But he didn't. You see, her husband Taylor, the doctor who employed him, was absent-minded and often forgot to give him his wages. So husband Taylor resolved that he wouldn't remind him. He wanted to learn how to depend on God. So he always just prayed to God that God would remind his the doctor. So after he decided to give this 0.5 crown, and he went
back to his lodgings. On the way,
if I remember rightly, he met the doctor. The doctor Kate was in a really jolly mood because a patient, when no national health, had just paid him. And he said, "Great." And they said, "Oh, and your wages are due." So he gave him his wages, and immediately he had money there. You see, he was thrilled. He was excited. He was blessed. So you see, and in the New Testament, even with Paul, there's snapshots of people who gave to Paul. Paul didn't ask for anything. He even tried to avoid it. But he says of Rome, he mentions a woman called Phoebe, who said has been a benefactor to the churches, and he adds, "To me also." There was that woman who was a benefactor to him, and he experienced that blessing. So I don't think we will lose out when we give our money and ourselves to God and to others. Of course, it's got to be according as our faith grows. I don't advise anything rash here. Always according to the amount of faith we have in the Lord Jesus. But as that grows, so also to grow in giving ourselves to God. And then I think we'll be excited by the blessing that we receive. We don't do it for the blessing. This is not prosperity gospel. This is giving out of love for Jesus and for others, and suddenly finding out you're blessed as well. May God help us to understand this. Let's pray before we sing our final hymn. Heavenly Father, we often find what you say in your word difficult to understand, and even more difficult to practice. Father, we are better at getting than giving. But Father, we pray you would stretch us. You would help us so that our faith will grow, and so will our giving, or what we give of our money, yes, what we give of ourselves too. And that we will experience the unexpected joy of following in the footsteps of Jesus and find out what that saying really means. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn. Is going to be "God Forgave My Sin," Songs of Fellowship 129. I think it's going to be on screen. There it is. Shall we stand?